Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Killer Bees!
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Well, Joel's not here. Now he'll be down the hall shortly. So, no, what is he saying? What up, H-Town? How you doing? You're going to have to miss that today unless he wants to do it like 5 minutes into the show. We'll see. Lots to talk about today. Houston Cougars, how about them getting that victory yesterday? That was nice. I'm still recovering a little bit. Joel wants to talk about types of cats. Is that what you wanted to talk about, Joel? A fox or a bobcat? Something you were telling us this morning that I had no idea what you were talking about?
I have a phenomenal story for you.
Let's hear it.
Okay, so my daughter Madison, as you know, watches games with me at night before she falls asleep.
Uh-huh.
And more so than Taylor, she loves sports. So we'll sit down, and I'm flipping channels between baseball when the playoffs were on or basketball or football. She goes, Daddy, what's that? And she always says, baseball. And I'm like, no, honey, that's basketball. I like it. So, you know, that's her response to everything. And then if I say me too, then she goes, yep, me too. So I understand. But then I also say, do you like football? And she'll go, yes.
Yes.
And I'll go, wait a minute. It's yes. And I said, Lisa, I said, I think she's Russian because every time I say, do you like something?
Do you say Russian or Russian? Russian, okay.
Because she goes, yet. And I'm like, so nay and yet. I'm like, she might be Russian. So I'm like, you know what? We're working on her speech, but we're not there yet. I didn't really think anything of it.
You have people delivering you water now?
So then
What's going on here?
You know, she also watches commercials.
Can I have some water, please?
She'll go, Daddy, what's that? And it's the Geico from Gecko. Uh-huh. And I'll say, Gecko. And she'll go, Gecko, I like it. Well, we hit a little bump in the road. There was the car fox for Carfax.
Yeah.
And she said, Daddy, what's that? When I told her what it was, it sure didn't sound like a fox. And that's when I determined that from that point forward, it was now a bobcat. Because her next response was, that I like it. And I was like, nope, not now, not when you're 16, not when you're 25, not with your dad. That is not happening. It's now a bobcat, not a fox.
Oh, that's a good call by you.
Yeah,
had to change that up
real quick.
You know, a lot of people were thinking that Brian Cashman was a fox yesterday. He was interviewed with SNY, and they were talking to him about his free agency plans. And I saw this kind of go viral yesterday, right around 7 o'clock. And people are losing their minds about this. First, let's just play the clip of what Brian Cashman was saying on SNY. We'll get to it here in a second. But what Brian Cashman basically said is he's trying to sign a shortstop, and there's two shortstop he's looked at. He's looked at Carlos. He didn't say this. It's been reported. He said he's talked to two shortstops agents, and it's been reported that those two shortstops are Corey Seager and Carlos Correa. Here's what Brian Cashman had to say, general manager of the
I agents. Started, yeah, slowly because we're dealing with coaching stuff, but I've already had two separate conversations with two separate players that represent our agents that represent shortstops. Just
so there was what Brian Cashman had to say, and a lot of the city of Houston said fox after they heard what Brian Cashman had to say.
Not now, bobcat.
Now it's been reported by other people that the two shortstops are Corey Seager and Carlos Correa, the top two shortstops in the market, and we shouldn't be surprised by this, right? I mean, we've been talking about it since July. Well, I guess we weren't on a show yet then. Since August, that the Yankees would be in the market for a shortstop,
and we had Yankee fans, real diehard Yankee fans, telling us there's no way they look at him, and we were adamant that yeah, there sure is, and it's going to happen, and now it's coming to fruition. So hate to tell you so, but we told you so, and it's not surprising if you're an Astros fan. It shouldn't be mad at the Yankees. It should be mad at your own franchise if you think he's going to get away because you had the opportunity to sign him before anybody else could at the start of the year. Once you reached his deadline at the start of the season and then let it go, you had to realize the next thing you might have to do is let him go. And it's just part of the realities of how sports works.
Yeah. I mean, that's I'm telling everybody not to panic about it. You knew it was going to happen. He's the most coveted free agent in free agency. Like, more than half the teams in Major League Baseball are at least going to call Carlos Correa's agent and say, hey, what are you looking for? What are you trying to get? And most of those teams are going to get the number from Carlos Correa's agent, and most of the teams are going to say, okay, well, you know, maybe next time, maybe with your next player, that we're not going to be in the market for Carlos Correa. But there's going to be a handful of teams that are in the market for Correa, and quite frankly, any general manager that doesn't call isn't doing their job. Mm-hmm. It's the same thought I had with Nick Caserio when you're trading players at the deadline, when you're trading Mark Ingram. You let every general manager know that the guy's being shopped. You might even let everybody know that, you know, what the best offer is to see if they can top it, but it's just part of the business. So Brian Cashman saying he's talking to shortstops. Reports saying that the Yankees are interested in Carlos Correa. One, don't worry about it. That's what it's going to be for the entire offseason. Two, yeah, he's probably going to be a Yankee. I will say this. When this story came out yesterday and the video came out yesterday, it was the first time. And look, I've considered this to be an option for a very long time. I think he will be. I don't think he'll be an Astro. I think there's probably 40-50% chance he will be a Yankee. This was the first time, though, that I envisioned Carlos Correa in the pinstripes. It's the first time I envisioned in my mind Correa in a Yankees uniform.
I've seen it for a long time now, and that's why I've pushed it with Jake and all the other big Yankee honks that we know.
Me too, but like actually wearing the Yankees gear.
Yeah, and you know what? And it's also, it was even more so for me when there was the conversation that Verlander might also be a guy the Yankees would entertain for a year. And it would just be so ironic that the team that bitched about everything the Astros did and did wrong and cheated and did, but all they keep doing is adding the best players from the team that they loathe to try and get to be where they've been. And so it would be fitting also because they have the deepest pockets, right? So we knew that that was a possibility. The other rumored shortstop I thought was going to be Trevor Story, because I that's all I have heard was the fact that that's the guy that they've been looking at, and because they have DJ LeMahieu, who had played with Story as well, that was the guy that they were focused on, and they also thought they could get him for a little less money. I didn't think it was going to be Seager, but regardless, I see Dodgers, Yankees, maybe even Cubs, and especially Mets, still wanting to make an impact splash by throwing big money at somebody in free agency, and obviously this is a shortstop-heavy market. We know the Yankees need a shortstop. We know the teams I mentioned, for the most part, need a shortstop besides the Mets. So it's going to happen, right? And Correa's, this is not the only interest Correa's going to get, especially from big market teams with deep pockets. You, as a Yankee, I mean, as an Astros fan, you got to brace yourself, because you just got to hope and pray that everything that you have in a belief in this team is sitting with Jim Crane and James Click, and that they're going to make the right decision for this franchise.
Yeah, and look, I don't think it's in the best interest of this organization to go past 250. 250 might even be high. It's not in the best interest of this organization to go past 7 years, because now you're starting to handcuff yourself in the future. And you're going to have money to spend. And a lot of people are saying, well, you have Verlander off the books. You have Greinke off the books. Correa, if he leaves, he's off the books. You want to spend that money. There's ways to spend money in baseball, even if you're not that active in free agency, whether it's going out. You spend it wisely. And to me, you know, big contract like that, and we've went over huge contracts in Major League Baseball history, and more times than not, they don't work out. So that's something you have to consider if you're James Click. And James Click's frugal, too. And perhaps this contract offer that has been rumored, you know, maybe that was their last-ditch effort to sign Carlos Correa, and they never really thought that he was going to accept that deal, and the reason that they threw it out there. And this is something that is a pretty popular belief, that they threw that contract out there to let the fans know that they tried, yep, that they gave it one more shot. I maybe was a bit optimistic in the sense that it was the start of negotiations. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's the sign that he is going to be gone. But the Astros can win without Carlos Correa. They're still loaded offensively. You bring in a guy who can give you a little bit with the bat, that can play defense very well. The Astros are going to be just fine. This is a team that's, the window's still open. Do they lose a little bit losing Correa? Sure. But is it worth that contract? I say no.
And let me throw this at you, because I think that's something I was going to bring up the other day. It's interesting, because I think a year or so ago we'd have a different conversation in terms of free agents that are looking at where to play would want to stay away from Houston like it was like they had the plague, because they didn't want to be roped into the cheating scandal. They didn't want to have the extra backlash and hecklers every single place that they played in. And they didn't want to sign up for that, as well as all the expectations that come with a contract in free agency. I think it's changed now. I think that the run the Astros continue to be on, exactly what you were talking about in terms of the depth of the talent offensively, defensively, pitching-wise, a lot of guys are looking at it now going, okay, it's now, I think in my mind, gone far enough in the past. I want to play with that group. Even if from a pitching standpoint, especially in the bullpen, I want to pitch in a place where I've got good defense behind me, but I've got a great offense that's going to put runs up so I don't have to worry as much about, you know, nitpicking every pitch to try and keep us in a ball game. I want to play there. It's my personal belief that that's going to be a huge advantage for the Astros no matter where they spend the money.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't believe free agents look at the Astros and say that's a place I don't want to go, that that's a toxic environment. In fact, I think it's the opposite. It's a winning team. Mm-hmm. They've been a winning team for a long time. Dusty Baker is a player's manager that players love to play for. And look, I have the things that I pick with Dusty Baker all the time when it comes managing nine innings. But I'll also be the first one to tell you that being a manager is more than just how you manage the nine innings. And in fact, I think the most important job of a manager is keeping the clubhouse together. And to a man, Jose Altuve loves Dusty Baker. Carlos Correa loves Dusty Baker. Alex Bregman loves Dusty Baker. He's a player's manager. This is a place free agents want to go. Now, you're always going to look at the bottom line. You're always going to look at the dollar amount. But anything that hangs over this organization for what happened in 2017 is long forgotten, I think, by 90% of Major League Baseball players, if not more. I mean, you have Chris Bassett going on podcasts saying, look, let's be honest. This was going on in Major League Baseball. Joey Votto was saying this thing's going on in Major League Baseball. And also, look at the guys who have left the Houston Astros. A.J. Hinch got hired the moment his suspension was up. Alex Cora got rehired by the team that fired him the moment his suspension was up. George Springer got paid. Carlos Correa is going to get a huge contract this offseason. Everybody in baseball, like, I'm an actions over words kind of guy. Like, you can look at the words that are written in the stories about the Astros in 2017. Show me the actions by real baseball people. Real baseball people are the guys that are hiring managers in Detroit and Boston. Real baseball people are the ones that are signing contracts like George Springer and wherever Carlos Correa goes. The actions of real baseball people tell me that nobody gives a darn about that.
No, and here's the other thing, Jeremy, when you look at it, if you're an available free agent, you're considering the Astros. The other thing is, you're closer to being a slam dunk to get to the playoffs than most teams too. When you look at it, mm-hmm. and you see that yesterday the A's announced that Matt Olson, their former Gold Glove but big time young prospected first baseman that has really played well and been an all-star, is on the block. You look at three of their top four young arm starting pitchers can be had for the right move, because they're constantly playing money ball. They're not trying to upgrade and put money forth towards trying to go for it. They're constantly trying to right the ship, stay steady, and when it gets a little bit rocky, let's start unloading cargo as quickly as possible. That's not something you worry about. The Mariners, they're not there yet, and we all know it. They haven't had that big splashy free agent or two that kind of pushes them into full competitive mode. They pushed the reset button a lot quicker last year by what they did late in the season to finish second. Nothing tells you, no matter what Scott Service did as a manager and the young talent that they have the capabilities of being a contending team. Now, the Angels is something you have to deal with, because they also have deep pockets, and they're going to look for a starting pitcher or two. Mm-hmm. And if the big if with them is if they could stay healthy, when you have Ohtani and Rendon and you have Mike Trout and you have some of the guys that they have and they've developed, that could be a team in the division. But that doesn't mean anything to the Astros, because whether you win the division or come in second, chances are pretty good you're going to make the playoffs. And as a free agent, you want to win as well as get paid. And if you can do both with the Astros, why wouldn't you want to come here?
713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's a Pac-Man Joel at Twitter. I sure did. Wow. And everybody loved it. Going to be adding Twitchers by the dozens.
So between your point clicking and shooting dozens. And your cha-cha-chas, you think that you are attracting new Twitchers?
It's cumbia, not cha-cha-cha. Let's get it right. Throw a little respect to the cumbia. Hey,
okay, and Jeremy Garcia.
I mean, our Twitch fans loved it. Now, they might not think I was any good, but they loved it. You're never going to know
Luis
what you see on Twitch.
Branham Garcia.
That's right. My mom's a Rios. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. All right, when we come back, second week of the college football invitational rankings are out. Oh, boy. That's next. ESPN97.5 and ESPN92.5.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Got a text in. Help me understand this. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Dozens have went through the Twitch, by the way, ever since I gave the wink in the shoot. Carlos Correa debacle was one reason why this city will forever be a mediocre sports town. At best, Caps! Exclamation point. What does that mean? That the Carlos, like, the fact that that the Astros aren't re-signing Carlos Correa, is that what you mean? I believe that's what it is. And if I'm wrong, 6183, shoot us another text, and thanks for listening.
Put your name on your text messages. If you want to actually own it and have a true discussion about it, put your name on it and own it. Don't sit there and just point, click, and shoot anonymously.
It's It's one of my favorite things that you do.
You're welcome.
They could just put a fake name. Like, I never
Well, because they're going to be cowardly
that.
Anyway. But here's the thing. It's not a fake sports town. You forget that the years of James Harden, they didn't produce a championship, but for 8 straight years, you went deep into the playoffs, and you had real legitimate issues to try and bitch about because your team was on the cusp of trying to win a title. When you think about the Texans, no, it wasn't ideal, and they didn't reach a conference championship game or a Super Bowl. But you know what they did do? They won. They won the division, or they got in the playoffs. They won a playoff game or two. They had you at least through the 16-game regular season, including the bye week 17. They had you enjoying football more times than not, unlike what you're doing right now. So to sit there and say that it's a failure of a sports town, you're swinging and missing, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm not with that either. I mean, the Astros, I got ripped for calling them a dynasty. In hindsight, I was a little bit premature on that. I'll admit that. But they've won one World Series in the last 5 years. They've been to 5 straight ALCSs. They're winning the AL West all the time. I mean, what more can you ask more from, you know, your Major League Baseball franchise? I mean, they've been right there knocking on the door. They were one game away from winning the World Series in 19. They were 2 games away from winning it in 2021. Is it a little disappointing they don't have more than one? Yeah, absolutely. But to call the city of Houston a bad sports town because of the Carlos Correa debacle was not great. Not a wonderful text there. Because I can sit here and make the case how not re-signing Carlos Correa is in the best interest of the long-term success of the Astros. Is it in the best, you know, is it the best case scenario for 2022? Probably not. Is it the best case scenario for the 10 years following this season? Yeah, probably.
Yep.
College Football Invitational released their rankings yesterday. And let's just go through the rankings here real quick. Georgia, look, they're your unanimous number one. No argument there to the College Football Invitational. Alabama at number 2. That's fine. Oregon, who that loss to Stanford's looking worse and worse by the week. I mean, they're a sub-500 team, and they're getting hammered in the Pac-12. Stanford has not won a game since they beat Oregon. They're getting pounded in a mediocre Power 5 conference, and Oregon's still number 3. Ohio State struggle with Nebraska, they're 4. Cincinnati, they struggle with Tulsa, they're at 5. This is where it gets curious. Michigan jumps Michigan State. I understand Michigan State just lost, but what was the argument last week on why Oregon was ahead of Ohio State? It was because of the head-to-head, and Oregon beat Ohio State. Yet here we have, not that long ago, Michigan State beating Michigan, yet Michigan State's below Michigan in the College Football Invitational rankings. They're talking out of both sides of their mouths again.
Yeah, they really are. And the thing is, that's so perplexing about this in so many ways. And we can make fun of this committee and say, well, you know what? I watched the announcement last night between the college basketball games. And then to have them put him on the hot seat and to hem and haw and go, well, we did have a real passionate discussion in the room for maybe 30 minutes or so. What do you need to see as a reminder? These two teams played a week ago. Not like at the start of the year when one team was more advanced than the other and knew what their depth chart was going to look like and all these other things. A week ago, Michigan State beat Michigan. And you put them ahead of Michigan State. Why? Because it was your own personal feelings that they're a more complete team. Isn't that why they play the game? Isn't that why they're on the field so we can decide wins and losses and who's truly better than the other? Not because you got a whim that they're a deeper team because they're more qualified on special teams. You lost to them. It's stupid.
I mean, winning doesn't matter in college football. It's not just about the wins and the losses. It's about style points. It's about how you looked compared to at least the committee full of Big Ten athletic directors. That's what matters, apparently. I can't wait for a real playoff with real qualifiers. I hate the invitational aspect of this. Oklahoma's at 8. Another baffling ranking. Baylor dropped one spot after losing to a bad TCU team. They went from 12 to 13. Who does Baylor play this week? They play Oklahoma. I think that they want Baylor to have that high ranking as they get set to play Oklahoma, because I wonder what the committee's thinking if Oklahoma beats 13th-ranked Baylor, even though they dropped just one spot after losing to TCU. A little bit more baffling as you get further and further down the rankings. University of Houston not being ranked, and look, I know I bleed scarlet and white, and I know I'm a homer when it comes to the University of Houston, but the fact that they aren't ranked, it's not even for my personal gain. It's the fact that it's a scam to keep Cincinnati out of the top 4. It's quite ridiculous, if you ask me. Let's listen to the committee chair, who is also the athletic director at Iowa, Gary Barta, on why they chose Michigan over Michigan State.
The arguments were going on in the room, just like I'm listening to you guys go back and forth. A week ago, it was discussed that Michigan might be the more complete team, offensively, defensively, every statistic. Michigan's ahead of Michigan State, but the committee certainly gave Michigan the nod. They were undefeated. They beat Michigan head-to-head. What's different a week later? Michigan won. Michigan State lost. The discussion in the room went back and forth, very similar to what you're doing now, but at the end of the day, we felt as a committee that Michigan was a better team and to be ranked ahead of Michigan State this week. Stay tuned. We get to watch again next week.
Yeah, stay tuned. That's why Baylor is ranked 13th, so they can play Oklahoma. That way they can give Oklahoma a game. Arkansas, by the way, ranked 25th. Guess who Arkansas is playing this week?
I don't know.
Just guess.
Baylor.
They have LSU this week, but then play at Alabama in 2 weeks. They want Arkansas to have the number next to their name whenever they face Alabama in Tuscaloosa in 2 weeks.
But wouldn't you think, now where are the Cougs?
They're unranked.
That's what I'm saying. I think that was planned. I think that when I was watching all of this, the precursors in their mind, because you know what, Jeremy, more than anything else, what I took away from that soundbite and watching it live last night is, the committee's really hopeful it's all going to sort itself out so that they don't have to feel the heat and the pressure of doing some of the stupid things that we've already seen them do. And I think that one of the things that they're thinking about is they know that down the road there's a collision course coming between your Cougs and Cincinnati. And you know what? And if that's their only win, if Cincinnati wins that game, but the Cougs aren't ranked or ranked high, then they're going to go, you know what? Their resume still doesn't look good because Houston wasn't high enough for us to consider them a true contender for the Final Four. You know what? We thought we got away from conspiracies and politics and all that stuff when we got out of all the other ways that we were doing the decision making for the college football playoff. We're not even close.
No, it's the College Football Invitational. Everything that they rank after the number six spot is basically collusion on trying to get the right matchups with the right number next to their name, with the right path and the right runway for teams that they want to invite to their College Football Invitational. Bob Stoops, longtime head coach at Oklahoma, one of the best that's ever done it. He had thoughts about Oklahoma's ranking.
A little bit, but I'm not concerned. We've got five teams with a loss ahead of them. Seems unusual. All of a sudden, it seems like for the committee that losing doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand that. OU's got the longest win streak in America going and 9-0. You got five teams ahead of them with a loss. All I can determine from it is they're waiting for them. With these last three games, of course, the big games, the schedule's backloaded, with the big games all at the end.
Although Baylor only dropped one spot from 12 to 13 after losing to a bad TCU team. Why? With Oklahoma in mind.
And you know why, too? The other thing is, Jeremy, we already know that there's Big Ten bias that's in that room. But when you look at Big Ten bias, it shows and it's glaring when you see where everybody is and how many Big Ten schools are in there. And I've already told you as a Big Ten guy how bad the conference is overall. But they're really doing that so that at the end of the year, they're going to put one and they're going to have at least one other team floating around, whether it be Michigan State or somebody else, to float around with Ohio State, because they're going to try and make sure that they cover their own butts and say, this conference, though, is really, really strong. And that's why with the teams that were going head-to-head and having tough losses, that's what is going to make the difference. That's why they are where they are and Cincinnati isn't, or some team like that. It's a freaking joke. The Big Ten is so overrated and so bad offensively, and yet all their teams are sitting there somewhere in their list. And I'm just shaking my head going, Wisconsin has no business on that list. I'm telling you, and I'm a Wisconsin guy. I look at Iowa. They're terrible. Purdue is awful. I can go up and down the list and tell you not one of them has any business being in the top 10, the top 15. Yes, I can see Michigan State, and Ohio State, because that's going to sort itself out. Other than that, stop teasing everybody and lying to them.
Beer Man Greg with a great point. I saw Reddit say this too, that they care more about the ratings and the money involved, and the top four is going to be Oklahoma, Ohio State, Alabama, and Georgia because of the money involved. And look, I don't even blame them. But it's why I'm calling it the College Football Invitational. My overwhelming thought with this, though, like my general big picture thought on this, why is college football the only sport in the world without a real playoff with real qualifications to get in its playoff? Please, Please make the college football 8 teams or 12 teams. Give the Power 5 conference champions an automatic berth. That way there is no complaining. You might complain that you're not one of the three wild cards, but you know what you would say to the team that's off the bubble, that's left out? Well, you should have won your darn conference. Yeah. You can't say that right now, and it's sad.
No, and then you still see the non-conference games. Some, I was looking at Alabama's schedule, I think it was. They were showing on ESPN this morning, and some of the cupcakes they still have to play non-conference. And you're going, you want to really be a true national championship contender? Play a national championship contender type schedule. Stop playing all these never-will-bes and soaking up big W's with big point spreads and thinking that you are somebody. This is exactly how we handle all these things. And look no further than what your basketball side of things in the NCAA is doing and the cash cow you've created with March Madness and how it's just money after money after money rolling in all over the NCAA. You could do the same thing with football. The TV coverage would be off the chains. Every bowl would want to have whatever game you're offering them and then want to be in line for the next round. Everything would be cash, 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 which is what's driving all of this anyway. Why wouldn't you do this as soon as possible? Because the big thing for all of us that it would do is it would take so much politics and doubt into every single week when you do this overblown announcement for these rankings that we don't believe in.
Yep. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Jim Duquette works for MLB Radio, 20 years in Major League Baseball front offices, and a former general manager will join us next to talk about free agency. Carlos Correa probably will come up. It's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Dr. O and his staff, they're fantastic. I know because I go every single week. I get a B12 shot. I get my blood pressure checked. Every now and then I do blood work to see where everything from my cholesterol levels to other things are at. I've gotten my body fat down under 14%. I've lost 9 pounds. I'm doing all these things because their people care and they know what they're doing. They worked at the other places. They know what works, what doesn't, and what is just a complete waste of your time and money. They've eliminated that stuff to focus on what you want to focus on. Your health is your wealth. You need to focus on yourself. And that means from the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, get answers and results for the problems and questions that you may have. It starts with going to ApolloMH.com. Book your first appointment. You're going to find out most major insurance is accepted, discounts for military personnel and first responders. Mention my name, Joel Blank, and that free B12 shot on your first visit will already put some more energy in your life. And then tell them where you're having problems. Tell them what you're experiencing. Tell them where you want to go and what you want to do. And they're going to put you on a plan that works. They're great people doing great things. I believe in them. You should too. Check out the good people today at Apollo Men's Health.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, let's go straight out to the HR&P guest line. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Joining us now, Jim Duquette, MLB Radio, 20 years as a front office executive, former general manager in Major League Baseball. Jim, what is fascinating in Houston, there's several ways to look at this offseason. Sometimes overlooked is the fact that looks like we're shaping up to have a lockout coming within the next month. My biggest question is how would that kind of change the landscape of free agency in Major League Baseball?
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, by the way, guys. It is. We've never really had, as far as I can remember, it would be basically like a transaction type freeze, it sounds. So there would be, no transactions at all. I don't remember us having that at all. You know, even in through these, you know, most of the time it's been, you know, a lockout or a walkout. You know, it's like so it remains to be seen. I still think, depending on how long it goes, I still think that that the players will get their money. There's a lot of teams out there that are looking to sign players, spend money. It's one of the best free agent classes that we've had in years. Like, I just remember, 2020, before we ran into the pandemic, that winter, I think we were in San Diego, we saw, like, it was a huge number of amount of money that was spent. And it was only on a couple guys. It was like, I think we were adding it up this morning, it was four players that made over $100 million, you know, really. It was Gerrit Cole, Steven Strasburg, Anthony Rendon, and there was, I think it might have been Zach Wheeler at the time. Josh Donaldson was signed for like $92 million. So you know, just those guys combined made a ton of money. I looked at this list here this year. I could see at least 10 guys getting north of $100 million per year. If it still happens, you know, if it doesn't get impacted, by this, you know, let's say transaction freeze. And there may be some method to that madness too, but on the owner side, that they want this, and that's why they're angling toward this. But it's still hard to know for sure if that's going to have a huge impact. The talent is so good. I think usually that's usually what wins out in the wintertime.
All right, Jim, let's put your front office hat back on. Let's put you sitting squarely in the chair of the Houston Astros. You're running everything. How far do you go with Carlos Correa? Because we've been saying over and over again, look, he's a talent, and we know that, but we've never seen, for the most part, in Major League Baseball, 10-year deals at $30-plus million-a-year contracts work out in favor of the team. And then also, how good is the rest of this roster, and where would you be looking if you were looking at free agency this offseason?
So, I hate to say it, but I think that the Correa sweepstakes are over. I think they gave their best effort. It was a good effort, but he's going to get 10 years, probably 9 or 10 years. And, you know, it's going to be either like Detroit where Hinch is, could be the Cubs. There's going to be teams that are lining up 9, 10 years on Carlos. And, you know, I respect teams that are willing to just sit there and spend for 5 years and you know, kind of toe the line and maybe go, maybe you want to extend to a sixth year. Because like you said, a lot of these contracts, you're sweating them out. It's a huge risk. And so, you know, if I were in a lot of these front offices now, I don't think I would go to those numbers. I really wouldn't. And there's some good players out there. I think that Marcus Semien, Trevor Story, those are two really good shortstops. Semien, I know, played second base, but he can play shortstop. He played there a couple years ago in Oakland. You guys saw him a lot. Like, he can play there just as well. You could outside consider putting Bregman at short and going after Chris Bryant, although I don't like that option. I think I'd keep Alex right where he is at third. But I think one of those two shortstops I just mentioned would be where I would park my money. And then after that, I'm looking at pitching. For me, and they have a lot of good young pitching, so I don't think that has to be much. I think they have one big expenditure. It's a shortstop, and then after that, maybe an experienced starter. Doesn't have to be, you know, Verlander type. Doesn't have to be Scherzer type, that type of guy, or a Robbie Ray who's going to get north of $100 million. Kevin Gausman would be interesting down there. He's going to cost a lot of money. I think, you know, their 5 years is going to cost, you know, probably be a problem for them, but he would be one guy to consider. Eduardo Rodriguez with the Red Sox. Those are the type names that they should be in. Thankfully for the Astros, they don't have to do a lot.
Jim Duquette works at MLB Network, 20 years in Major League Baseball front offices, former general manager. Why not Justin Verlander? Any chance he accepts this $18.4 million qualifying offer?
So I don't think, I think Verlander would be a definite option. It just, from what it sounds like, he wants to pitch more on the West Coast. Again, that's what I'm hear a lot now with people around him, sources. I wouldn't rule out Houston entirely, but I, in terms of accepting the qualifying offer, I don't think you go out and do a workout like he had the other day and invite, you know, every team and then that many teams show up and then accept the qualifying offer. Like, I just don't think that the likelihood of that happening is small. Now, maybe there's something when they saw they didn't like. I mean, I heard he's throwing 94 to 97. That's far more than I expected to hear in the first workout of the year at this time of the year. So it kind of speaks to, you know, how much of a freak Verlander is in general, health-wise and physically at this point. So when I hear all of that, and then Verlander, the type of pitcher he is, like, I could see somebody very easily feeling comfortable giving him at least a 2-year deal. So that's why I think I don't believe he'll accept the offer.
So assuming he's gone, Greinke looks like he's gone. Do you like the nucleus of the 5 young starters under team control that the Astros have? And then you look at Lance McCullers and say, He's coming off Tommy John surgery. He wasn't able to finish the deal for you in the playoffs as good as he looked, but he looked like your ace. Do you believe that you just roll the dice and say, I love these young pitchers. I know I got an ace if Lance is healthy. I just got to roll the dice. He's going to be healthy. And that's really where I need to go with the majority of my pitching staff, just focus on the bullpen?
Well, when I was in the front office, I didn't like rolling the dice that much. You know, I would gamble every once in a while, but I didn't like, you know, that because that usually it's not going to go in your favor. I think you have to protect yourself there with Lance, just in case. I do think he's going to pitch healthy. Hopefully, you know, everything hopefully should check out fine. I love the guy. Like he's top of the rotation type guy. Great, you know, great human being too. Like all the aspects you look for in a, you know, and he's learned from some good ones under, you know, Verlander and Greinke and, you know, go back to even Keuchel those days. I like Valdez, you know, right behind him. I like the way Garcia looked. I like Javier Urquidy. Like, I think they have a really, really good mix. I think they're missing one experienced guy, you know, and that's where I think that they should, you know, and again, when I say experience, you know, obviously Odorizzi, I think, still there, right? Odorizzi still
yep, under contract for one so, more. Yep.
Right. So I mean, he can give you innings as well. But when you look at it, you go, you know, coming off of this year, you want to give yourself a little bit of protection. If they had another starter in that mix, I'd feel better about it. And then after that, yeah, maybe a bullpen piece or two. But I mean, I give James Click a lot of credit, man. He's done a tremendous job with the pitching depth. They got further than I would have predicted. With, you know, some really ineffective or inconsistent starts from that group. I mean, they were right there on the cusp of winning the World Series again, you know. So I don't think they have to do much. It'd be some minor tweaks, you know. I don't think even a Clayton Kershaw, I don't think that guy, you know, I don't think that's the right guy, you know, in the fit. So, you know, like I was mentioning, Rodriguez might be a good fit. Again, it depends on if they're willing to spend that kind of money. They have a little bit of payroll flexibility, obviously, with Correa becoming a free agent. But I think that's all they really have to do on that front. I think they save most of their money for the you know, the replacement of the shortstop.
I like the idea, too. If you know you're going to be a playoff team, why not just build up as strong a bullpen as you can? And maybe you're not getting quality starts in the postseason, but if you can get 4 or 5 innings from those young starters and then turn it over to what could be, if you spend that money in free agency on bullpen arms, one of the best bullpens in Major League Baseball, could be a good way to go, too. A lot of Houston fans are going to be unhappy if the Astros don't make a splash in free agency. I think many people are content with the idea that Correa could go, but if Verlander's coming off the books, Greinke's off the books, Correa's off the books, Graveman's off the books, Astro fans are looking at that as a lot of money that they should be spending, even if it's not on Correa. If they miss out on Correa, and you're saying the sweepstakes are over, if they miss on Simeon, they miss on Baez, what are other ways they can spend that money, even if it's not in free agency?
Well, there's you know, capable you know, trade possibilities out there, right? I think the Reds are one team in particular that looks like they're in the teardown mode. Oakland looks like they're in a teardown mode. Now, part of this too is looking at your own division and how you stack up in a division, and then, you know, plan out the early part of the season and then making a trade in season two, right? So that's also part of this. I mean, I think I was looking at it earlier. They're about 50 million or so under the tax threshold, when they were over the tax threshold in 2020. So they've always had a high payroll, and they're always going to, I think, you know, even without Springer, you could predict, you know, and they didn't replace Springer with anything of significance. You go back and look at last year. They had an even better offense, a more well-rounded offense this year than they did last year. So they know what they're doing on that side of it. I understand the idea about, you know, replacing those guys, but I think the track record is there. There are a lot of fan bases out there that would be dying for 3 World Series appearances over the last 5 seasons. I think they deserve the benefit of the doubt in what they're going to build. I know it's not the great answer that you want to hear, but that's the truth.
No, it's the honest answer, Jim. That's what we like about you. So here's before I let you go, I want another honest answer from you. You know, having done what you've done in the course of your career, we're looking at the situation where you get a new GM in James Click. He's coming from a very, very frugal franchise in Tampa. Yeah. Now you're coming to an ownership group that has gotten the best of the best out of their squad. They've won a World Series. Jim Crane looks like he doesn't want that to stop. What's the wild card factor where you're doing all your due diligence as a GM? You've done everything you need to do, and that you can come in and the owner can say, you know what, I don't care what it costs, I want Carlos Correa part of this team, or we need to do this, even though you're telling him to do that?
Well, that to me is probably the most difficult part of the job. And I didn't do it well when I was in the GM seat. I didn't push back enough on the owners. Because here's the thing. James Click, in all fairness to Jim Crane, who's a tremendous businessman and is very wealthy, he doesn't know baseball the way the front office does, right? The way James Click, James has been doing it his whole career. It's a different animal. You hire him to do the job, let him do the job. So, you know, Jim Crane may come to him about a couple ideas, but for me, the expert is the general manager and the front office. And by the way, you got to push back. If you don't agree with it, push back and tell them, hey, listen, I don't think that's the right move for this reason. And the owner still may overrule you. But most of the times around the game, when you look at when the owners have overruled the general managers, they've gotten themselves into huge financial problems. And that's why you're seeing a lot of these huge contracts. A lot of general managers, they'll say, listen, I'm not signing that guy. You talk to my owner. Scott Boras has more conversations with owners on those big contracts than he does general managers. I can guarantee you that. So if you see a 10-year deal, you're going to know the agent went to Jim Crane and talked to him, because James Click likely didn't do it.
That's awesome.
Jim, great stuff. Really enjoyed the conversation. Look forward to talking to you again very soon.
Anytime. All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Jim Duquette, analyst on MLB Network, 20 years an executive in Major League Baseball, general manager once upon a time as well. And he says the Carlos Correa sweepstakes are over. Are they? That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, tell you about Frankie's Italian Kitchen. I need you to go to the website right now, frankiesitaliankitchentx.com. If you're craving real Italian food, fresh homemade Italian food, not that kind of stuff that you go to at a chain restaurant where you think it's the original location, but it's not, and then you realize it's pre-prepared and it's not as good. Nope. You need to go to Frankie's Italian Kitchen once. You'll be there multiple times. Why do I say that? Because I've done that. I've tasted everything on the menu. I know the owner, Chris Smith, and I know how dedicated he is to the product. That means he's not just the owner, he's the chef. And why I tell you to go to the website is because whatever's been on the menu, he also has specials throughout the week that he will keep serving until he runs out. They might not be on the menu the last time you looked, but you don't want to miss the opportunity to sample them once and realize how good it tastes when you want real Italian food. He does it better than anybody else. He does the old standbys. They used to be pizza first, and their pizza oven is fantastic. The pizzas are crispy on the bottom, but the toppings are perfect just the way you like. They have wings in a multitude of varieties, but their real true specialty and passion are those Italian dishes, the lasagna, the spaghetti, the specials that I'm talking about during the course of the week, the beef stroganoff. They are to die for. And once you go there for one meal, you're going to see something served at another table and say, I got to come back and get that next time because that looks fantastic. Check them out today. Frankie's Italian Kitchen, TX.com. Believe me, if you are in the Richmond, Fulshear, Sugar Land, Katy area, if you've been there before, the word of mouth is already telling everybody in the neighborhood. That's where you go for real Italian food. I love the people and the food at Frankie's Italian Kitchen. You will too. Check them out today.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
How about Jim Duquette saying the Carlos Correa sweepstakes are over? If that's not something that's going to grab your attention, I don't know what will. Do you think that the Carlos Correa sweepstakes are over?
I don't. And it's simply why I asked the final question about Jim Crane. I think the one thing that keeps the Astros in the hunt till the bitter end is you have an owner that's passionate and understands from a business perspective what the name Correa on the back of a jersey with a number one means and what Correa being penciled in as the shortstop means and the legacy that he's left from what he's done in the past means. So that means, just like he explained, and that's his answer was fantastic, it was perfect, and I think that's what Astros fans need to kind of hang on to, is the hidden variable that I kept telling you all along, the X factor, Jim Crane. James Click, in my mind, I believe, is going to go to Jim Crane at a certain point and go, we're out. We just shouldn't do this anymore. But I still firmly believe that Jim Crane might be the guy that says, nope, not so fast. We're in.
Yeah. I'm with you. If Carlos Correa is an Astro after this season, it's going to be because of Jim Crane, yep. Not James Click. James Click, you see the offers that are out there? That's James Click's doing, which I mean, I'm actually on the side of James Click on that. What side are you on? 713-780-ESPN. What is too much for Carlos Correa, even if you're a big Carlos Correa guy? I am. He's my favorite player in baseball. I'm telling you, no more than 250, no more than 7 years. What's your number? Where do you draw the line? 713-780-ESPN. I do think that the sweepstakes are over in the sense that he won't be an Astro. I still don't know where he's going to go. Yankees will be in the mix. Tigers will be in the mix. Mariners perhaps in the mix. Rangers perhaps in the mix. To me, that's where the sweepstakes are still open. I do believe that the Astros' days of being in the Carlos Correa conversation are over. And in fact, I'm starting to think of other options to see who could be the shortstop for the Astros. You know my thoughts. It's either Correa, Simeon, or Jeremy Pena. Maybe Javier Baez, if you can get him on a one-year deal. Like, we got a tweet from Adam. He's saying, I'm good on Baez. Like, I don't want Baez. Dude strikes out way too much, doesn't walk. I would really like to keep Graveman and add to the bullpen, grab another starter, and let Aledmys Diaz play a near-everyday role. Pedro Leon seems to be our future at shortstop, which he's another prospect that has played a lot of shortstop. I believe Jeremy Pena is a little further along at this point than Pedro Leon, but I wouldn't dismiss Pedro Leon. I really wouldn't. Jeremy Pena, I think, has is on that next rung, a little bit ahead of Pedro Leon. Had a text earlier as well. I'd rather have Marcus Semien at something like 4 years for $100 million than Correa at 8 years for $250. Leaves a lot to fill other holes. That's not only did he put his name, but he also put his last name because he's a loyal Killer Bee. Jason saying that. I'm with you. I don't even know if you have to go to 4 years for Semien. Like, you might be able to get him at like 30 for three.
But I don't think you're getting him at 25.
But maybe, I'm saying 30 for three. Like a $90 million three-year deal.
I had heard 3 for $75. If you can get him for $375, you should already locked him up, or lock him up as soon as you can get him at that rate, because that is a bargain basement discount price, and he fits everything that you need to do, because he's keeping that window open for the long term while also keeping it open for the short term to be competitive, and that's what you need to be. But I think he's going to get upwards of 30 because he's one of the three finalists for the MVP. Mm-hmm. That tells you something. He's not playing his natural position that he's usually playing, shortstop, which Astros fans are familiar with his days with the A's. He comes with all the variables you need, not the ones that Carlos Correa is trying to convince you have to do. And I think that's another key factor. That's why I've been on the Semien bandwagon all along. If you can get him for a short term at a fair rate, then that's exactly what you should do. And that's a business move. That's a smart business baseball move that has nothing to do or say anything bad about Carlos Correa.
Correa loyalist. What is too much? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. And what is your plan B? Odell Beckham Jr. Day in the NFL cleared waivers yesterday. Diana Rossini of ESPN says that he's honing in on three teams.
Yep.
Green Bay,
yep.
Kansas City,
yep.
New Orleans as the three teams. Also saw New England's in the mix. Rossini did not report that, though. Also saw a report that Green Bay is set to offer him the veteran minimum. I don't think it's going to be a money deal with Odell Beckham Jr. I think he'll take the veteran minimum no matter where he goes. Green Bay and Kansas City, for me, are the only two teams that make sense because they have a great quarterback that can get on the football. They also have the organization that they would release Odell Beckham Jr. if he became a headache. I don't see Seattle because he'd be the number three receiver there. I don't see New Orleans because they don't have a quarterback. And I don't see New England because they have a rookie. Mac Jones is their quarterback. Why would you want Odell around him?
Totally agree. I think that the only wild card with the Saints situation is if they truly do give Phillip Rivers a tryout and just say, look, as a veteran, and he's proven that when he's got a ton of talent around him, and he can at least distribute the football and make smart decisions. Otherwise, as much as he's got loyalties from LSU perspective to Louisiana and all these other things, it doesn't make sense. And for all the things that you said, and also because I know that the Packers and Aaron Rodgers have been on this bandwagon trying to get him in a trade for the last 2 years, that it looks, and some of the tweets that I mentioned yesterday on the show from other players, you know, players talk, that I've heard the Packers and this, it's going to come down to the Packers and the Seahawks. I think he would probably have some reservations because of the way the Chiefs are playing right now and how bad their defense has been. So we'll see how it goes. But I think that he's going to choose wisely, and you're right, money's not going to be an option. But boy, you know, selfishly, especially because of the fact, too, that on two other fronts where this is important. You're appeasing Aaron Rodgers again. You're going completely against what the franchise has done forever and a day, which is we don't dabble in free agency. We don't overspend for veteran players. We believe we draft smarter and better than anybody else. We develop them. But you know what they did? They went out and made a dumb trade already to absorb Randall Cobb's money to appease Aaron Rodgers. And then they went out and you look at all the free agents they tried. Jalen Smith tried, didn't work out. They swung and missed. Whitney Mercilus, they're still swinging, but he's still on the roster. And now if you take another swing at an OBJ, that tells Aaron Rodgers, we see what you've been trying to tell us, and we're trying to do what you want us to do. And from a Rodgers perspective, this takes a whole lot of the focus off of him and the vaccine and the BS that he pulled. And so many different ways, this is the distraction this franchise needs right now. And as much as everybody said he could be a distraction coming in, this could be the perfect distraction from the flip from a Green Bay team perspective to keep them on the path that they've been going.
Odell Beckham, I think, will sign before we're done today. As soon as he does, we'll let you know. Mark Spears, senior NBA writer for the undefeated ESPN NBA Countdown Reporter, joins us next on the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. Look, I've been telling you about Doc Linville because John Granato has and Fred Fowler has, and I'm the latest in line to tell you Doc Linville is an expert. He knows what he's doing. But the great thing is, look, I've been dealing with what I called ramps on the side and the front of my hair that I blamed on wearing a baseball hat and playing college baseball and baseball for too many years of my life. But whatever the reason was, my hairline wasn't the same, and I wasn't too confident about it. But I was also married with kids and thought, I'm not going to worry about it anymore, until Doc Linville said, come in and talk to me. I think I can help you. And when he explained the process to me and realized it isn't fake, it isn't foam, it isn't spray paint, it isn't all these different things that people try to tell you is the way to go with your hair, it's your own hair, and it's just relocated from places where you have a lot to places where you need more. It's called neo-grafting, and it works. And I can't wait to show you the final results. Because once I went in, and the process is really painless, I mean that. I didn't feel any pain. It was really an easy procedure for me. It was about a half a day where you go in the morning, and the first thing they do is they get all the good hair that they need from the back and sides of your hair. And that's going to cover up quickly because you have so much good hair around your back and your sides because genetically, you never lose it there. Then they put it where you need it most. And in my case, it was my hairline. And then they say it's going to take 6 to 9 months total for the real thick hair to grow. But even as it starts in the baby stages, you can see it, you can feel it, and you know it's going to make a difference. It's really cool. And for ESPN listeners, it's really cool right now because the consultation that I went through that costs $150, it's free for ESPN listeners just by going to 975hair.com and making that appointment. Then listen to Doc and his staff, and they'll guide you through every part of the process, answer all your questions, and see if it's right for you. It's right for me. I hope it's right for you, too, because, you know, I wouldn't steer you wrong. I wouldn't speak about this if I didn't believe in it, and I can't wait to see the results. Check them out today. It's Doc Linville and his staff.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.